Our gospel lesson for this morning, as I said, comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. The second chapter, verses 21 to 40. Listen to God's word. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now, as the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul too." Now there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. Now she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came, and she began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather before you as a family of faith, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to you, that we might hear your word for us and to us here and now. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's hard to believe that Christmas was just a week ago, isn't it? Confetti has already fallen in Times Square and been swept away. Christmas trees will be lining the curbs starting this evening, and the wrapping paper has already gone out with the recycling. And many of you may have noticed, as I have, that Valentine's Day cards have been present in stores since Wednesday. Holidays come, and life stops for just a little while. We savor the sound and the taste and the spirit of that season. Then life goes on. Somehow we slowly get back into our own version of normal. The same is true for Mary and Joseph. The angels who were just singing verses earlier have retreated to the heavens. The shepherds have gone back to tend to their flocks, and the wise men have gone home by another way. And so today's text opens with the Holy Family getting on with their life together. They have cleared out of the manger, regrouped, and focused on what it means to be a family together. And as a good Jewish family, they have begun their life together with their new son by setting out to bring up their newborn baby according to the customs and beliefs of their faith. And so Luke is sure to tell us that 8 days after Jesus was born, there was a ceremony in which he was circumcised and named according to the words foretold to them. And then Luke goes on to say that after another 32 days had passed, the time of the purification for a mother after the birth of a male child, Mary and Joseph went to the temple to do what was required of them according to the law. So here they gather to consecrate their firstborn son to God, as was the practice of their faith, to honor God's command to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the Israelites of human beings and animals is mine." As one commentator states, firstborn sons then had to be redeemed for the price of 5 shekels of silver. The family then also makes the purifying sacrifice on Mary's behalf, 2 small doves, according to the law in Leviticus. We read, knowing that this was the sacrifice of a poor family, a substitute offering for those who could not afford what was customary in the time. But as life was about to be normal, with Mary and Joseph and Jesus moving past the exceptional events of the past several months and simply settling down, 2 characters enter the scene and remind the parents that the babe in their arms is a most exceptional child. Enter Simeon and Anna, a dynamic duo introduced to us by Luke, who makes sure that God's word is spoken to us through male and female voices alike. Simeon, we are told, is a man of deep faith who has been waiting for decades for God to fulfill a promise to him, a promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. And today is the day of God's promise keeping. So led by the Holy Spirit to the temple that day, he recognizes without any introduction that Jesus is the one for whom all of the people have been waiting. And he testifies to this. He testifies to the identity of Christ, that he will be the one who will bring light to the Jews and Gentiles, that he will evoke the fall and rise of many, that he will be a source of revelation into the hearts and minds of others. He says, too, that Jesus will know heartache, as will the mother who stands with him. And then we hear from Anna, the prophetess advanced in years, who praises God and testifies that Jesus is the one who has come to ensure the redemption of Jerusalem. In the midst of normal living, of day-to-day comings and goings, of obedient acts and hopeful choices, Simeon and Anna saw what others missed. As this poor young couple entered the temple that day, by a stroke of luck or faith or by the grace of the Holy Spirit, they saw with their own eyes that God was up to something amazing through the child before them. They could see in the midst of the seemingly routine, and perhaps even mundane, that God was up to something extraordinary. God was, in this little baby, present in the world, working for the redemption of God's people. And as they looked upon the Christ child that day, they saw that their hopes had been fulfilled. And not just their hopes, but the hopes of a nation, the hopes of a world. Something new was happening, as in Christ, the possibility for a new future was unfolding. The possibility for salvation and revelation, of redemption and new life. They could see the exceptional in the guise of the normal, the amazing in the midst of the ordinary. In this little baby, they saw God. We long to share this vision. We come here each week hoping that in the midst of the events of our daily lives, we too will be awakened by the Spirit of God, and that by grace, God's presence will enter into our midst. We long to look upon the face of the Christ child and know that our hope is not in vain, that our faith is grounded in truth. We want our normal life, the routine commitments, the mundane tasks, the moments of anxiety, of joy and despair, to be interrupted by God's very real presence in our midst, here and now. But how? How can we see God in our grocery lists and to-do lists? How can we see God when we check off another day of the calendar, when we mop our kitchen floor, when we pick up the mail or visit a neighbor? How can we recognize God in the day-to-day, when we often struggle to even see God in the exceptional circumstances of our lives? Now, today's text gives us several clues. First, reminding us that Simeon was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, for it had been revealed to him that he would encounter the Savior. And so this man of faith was ready for it. With an awareness before him, he left his heart open to the Holy Spirit, and he kept his eyes open so that he would not miss this special revelation. And Anna did the same. She showed up too. She clung fast to the community of faith, even in the midst of the despair of her daily life, staying anchored in her faith, grounded in worship, and dedicated to prayer. This is our entree too, for we see that God's people best recognize God in their midst when they have trained themselves for this awareness, to recognize God, when they have readied themselves, body, mind, and spirit, to receive God's hospitality and presence in their midst, and when they have opened themselves, their hearts, and their minds to God with us. And so we are invited too, to ready ourselves, not for the spectacular beginning or ending of Jesus' life or the beginning or ending of time, for the birth or the death or the resurrection of Christ. We must ready ourselves to receive Christ's presence here and now. An ideal starting point is prayer. For as Simeon and Anna look upon the world with a fresh gaze and see the new revelation of God's love in their midst, we have before us this opportunity too, to experience God's love with renewed hearts, to hear God's call with new awareness, if we just make ourselves available to this revelation by the power of the Spirit. This opportunity... This initiative takes practice. It takes dedicated practice. And so as we begin a new year full of resolutions and fresh starts, I extend an invitation, not just to each of you, but to each of us, to dedicate ourselves to a life of prayer, to an exploration of the practices of our faith that might nurture this shift in our perspective, so that we might coach our eyes to see God in the midst of the mundane, to train our ears to hear God's voice above all of the others that are competing for our attention, to encourage our spirits to feel God's presence from among all of that overstimulating buzz around us. Now, practices might include something new for you, or a renewed commitment to a practice that has drawn you deeper into your faith in the past. A practice of reading Scripture daily, even if you start with just one verse at a time. The practice of sitting before God in silence, clearing your mind and your heart from all distractions, and being open to listening for a guidance from God's Spirit. Even if you just can sit still for 5 minutes at a time. Or perhaps this practice is intentionally and attentively saying the words of the Lord's Prayer before you have your midday meal. Or perhaps It is a resolution to become involved in a new ministry here at church, a new mission offering, a new prayer group, a new study group, something that renews within your heart and your life an invitation to go deeper in your faith, not only as an individual, but in the presence of a community. Perhaps we resolve to join a covenant group or to discern someone from among us who might be a soul friend, someone with whom we can share our joys and struggles and covenant to hold one another in prayer along our journey. Or perhaps we resolve to truly take Sabbath, even if the Sabbath just means turning off our cell phones for 1 hour every day, turning off our computers for 1 hour every day, turning off our televisions for 1 hour every day, so that we can truly stop without obstruction or distraction and rest in God's abundant love. On this first day of the new year, can you see the Christ child in your midst? Can you recognize that he is here with us right now? The promise of the Christ child is not a promise for one day out of the calendar year. The promise that God is with us is a promise for every moment of our lives. So can you recognize him? And what do you see when you gaze upon that face? Do you see a sweet baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, who brings with him the hope and joy that accompany all newborn babies? Do you see a fussy, fidgety, needy person, weak and wholly dependent on the love and care of others for survival? Do you see a character, a seasonal symbol who's part of a story, whose presence is relegated to nativity scenes that light up our front lawns or are tucked under our trees for a few weeks out of the year? Or do you see an historical figure, a prophet of old whose very real presence in time and history suggests that God might possibly intercede in the world that God has made? Do you see a poetic image, a symbol tucked into a tidy verse of scripture who artfully points to a theology of hope held in the name Emmanuel, God with us? What do you see when you gaze upon the face of this Christ child? For today we are invited to see the hidden reality that undergirds the normal, routine, mundane moments of our everyday life. That in this Christ child, we are offered new hope, that we are offered new life. We are invited to notice how sometimes the most amazing possibilities rest in the small, the unexpected, the unimportant, and the powerless. Can you see it? Can you see that God has not forgotten about us? Even if the world writes us off as unemployable or unwelcome, God has not forgotten about us. Can you see that God is at work? That God is really with us. That even though we cannot snatch the baby out of Mary's arms, we too can praise God for the presence of our Savior in our midst right now. Can you see that God is at work about the business of keeping promises to all of creation throughout all of time? And that even though there are telemarketers and televangelists who tell us nothing but lies, God is true to God's word and continues to work to infuse all of creation with new life. Can you see it? God is here right now. God is with us and God is for us and God is calling us. God is redeeming us, forgiving us. God is renewing us. God is loving us. Right here, right now, and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, all time is yours, all beginning and all ending, and our time is yours. All our beginnings and endings, our birth and our death, our whole lives are in your hands, in Jesus Christ's hands. His blessing and forgiving, his protecting and healing, his feeding and holding us together hands. And our years, each one, also the one just passed, with all our triumphs and failures, with our quiet acts of serving and compassion, and with our sins and omissions, they are yours. Just given to us as a gift to use to praise you and love you and to love each other abundantly and faithfully. And the year just started, a new gift. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit that we might use it well, with thanksgiving and with new resolve and commitment to you and to your world. And therefore, dear Lord, we bring this world, our world, and yours, with everything that in our understanding is difficult and unresolved and needs your help. Have mercy, Lord, on your church in its confusion and scattering, in its weakness and sin. Have mercy on our government with its power play and an infighting that makes us despair. Have mercy on our political process that has become a circus at times. Lord, help us not just to complain, but to get involved and make our voices heard and help turn this country around. And Lord, we pray for each one of us, old and young, full of energy and gung-ho or depleted and frail, living in community or all alone. You love us, each one of us. You call us, each one of us, to follow you and to live out of your grace again this year. You can use each one of us just as you used those old couple, Simeon and Anna. Surprise us again, Lord, this year, with your call and with your claim on our lives, that each day might be a thanksgiving, each day a blessing, each day open hands receiving it from you, in the evening offering it up to you, knowing it just was a loner. Lord God, let us live out of your grace, thankfully, faithfully, because of Jesus Christ and his hands. In his name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.